I'm going to say this a lot of times over the next 5 days and 2 hours, probably. But I just, so much of what I love about this show is just Randy's reaction to stuff. So, because so many things just, his reaction is so unique to other people in the world. I would have loved to have seen Randy's reaction when he played this song. But now I know what this is. I didn't know what it was at first. I thought it was Oasis at first. I was like, what are we playing, Wonderwall?
I think Shaboozy's going to cover some Wonderwall too at some point.
They probably should. Everyone should cover Wonderwall. Plus, Oasis has the reunion tour going on. I watched the documentary on them that they have on Max a couple weeks ago. Pretty solid, I guess, if you're interested in them. But anyway, hour number two here on a Happy Hour Friday. Thanks for being with us. This is Hours brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. As it is a Happy Hour Friday, you can send us pictures of whatever it is that you're drinking. We'll give you a shout-out at TBM929. Abe is in for Randy today and all of next week as well. And you want to say what you just said off the air, or is it you?
I think the statute of limitations is up. No, well, I was watching Pat McAfee. They're doing their show from Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. They had a game day. I was like, oh, I've broken into that stadium before.
Broken in?
Well, I mean, it was their fault.
Okay.
We were on our baseball trip. We were visiting the Austin campus.
Your dad? You broke in there with your dad?
Among others.
Wow.
A couple of us.
Wow, what a renegade.
Now, we walked the entire, around the whole stadium, looking for one gate that was unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And we found one.
So you didn't actually break in, you just found an unlocked door and went in there.
Someone made a mistake. It wasn't us. We took advantage of said mistake. And then we're like, where is this gate? And then it wasn't like a gate to the bowl, it was just the gate to the field.
Oh, all right.
So we just went on the field.
What'd you do?
We ran like a quick fake route, and then we got off the field.
All right.
And I picked a piece of turf.
Okay.
Like a one blade from their turf.
Do you still have it?
I'd have to find it, but I'm pretty sure I know exactly where it is.
So you, all right. So yes.
I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure.
Some stadiums just stay open. Like we were in Gainesville for
Florida stays open.
Yeah. For a family thing last year. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't football season. And you just kind of can walk over. We were walking around. People were doing running stairs, like doing exercise.
Yeah,
at Florida
Stadium. That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to get in there. It's like, damn, this place is huge. Might need a little
more security?
No, a few upgrades. Like there was,
oh, yeah.
There was a lot of leaks. Like, there was just water dripping from weird places. And I was like, that's probably not, like, structurally great just to have water dripping from concrete and it hasn't rained. But I don't know.
What do I know? When I was at college at IU at Indiana, their field was just, it was a shortcut to my apartments. And so I just walk across the 50.
Walk right through there?
Just...
People used to break into Husky Stadium and, like, do stuff on the 50-yard line. I never did that. Would have been kind of cool, but people would do that at night. Did you see, and I know you'll be here all next week filling in for Randy, and we'll be hanging out and talking all the games. Big matchup in college football next Saturday. Not this Saturday. Obviously, this Saturday is what we'll focus on today. Next Saturday, Washington and Indiana. Indiana potentially still undefeated.
Hey. We're not looking ahead. All right, we got to deal with Nebraska. It's a big noon kickoff. It's a big game this week.
You know that. If you talk about that game next Saturday, it won't impact the team looking ahead.
That's fair.
You know that? Okay, good. Washington has a bye, so we'll be rested.
It won't be fun if Indiana has a loss.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you don't get the Indiana fall out of top 25.
It would be nice to knock you guys out of being undefeated.
They won't be a top 12 team.
We won't. You guys, it's going to be a nice opportunity for you guys to get a good win.
Is that at
we
UW?
We suck. I don't think so. I think it's in Indiana.
The vaunted Memorial.
I don't know what the rest of the schedule
stadium.
Looks like, but maybe game day. Maybe you guys will get probably
Indiana.
Not. But if they keep winning, maybe Michigan or something
underrated
like that.
Underrated tailgates.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I'd love to go there someday. Maybe I will. All right. We'll let you hear our conversation with Jimmy Lake coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Falcons defensive coordinator was on the show with us yesterday. Picked his brain on all kinds of different stuff. Certainly got his thoughts on the pass rush and what they can do to improve it. So you're not going to want to miss that. But before we do any of that, let's get to as many of these big games in the NFL as we possibly can. Right now, NFL No Huddle. All right, No Huddle every single day to kick off the noon hour. Let's start with the Falcons game. And kind of an interesting little wrinkle with all of the overlap and players and coaching staff and all of that kind of stuff. Michael Penix played for the Seahawks offensive coordinator last year, Ryan Grubb. Here's Raheem Morris talking about how that may help.
Tell Grub, man, we got Michael Penix in the room right now. We didn't let him out for 3 days. We got a light in his face shining on him, man, making us give us everything, man. We got every signal, so make sure he changed every single signal. No, I'm just kidding, man. Obviously, he talks about the stuff that he knows from when he played for the guy in college and some of the mentality and things of that nature. But, you know, everybody in National Football League questioned guys that played on different teams, and be able to talk about those things and having the guy that he coached last year and did a heck of a job with that we got a lot of fondness for, obviously. We got a lot of respect for Grubbs and what he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes stuff like this might get overblown a little bit. I feel like this one maybe a little bit more valuable just because Grubb has only been a play caller in the NFL for 6 games. So no one's all that familiar with this system from an NFL standpoint. Penix played 30 games for him over the last couple of years and was the quarterback in that offense. So maybe there's a little bit more to it, but I don't know. I don't know if that tilts the scale further in the Falcons' favor. I hope it does.
Well, I would say this, and this is not even a Grubb Penix thing specifically, but like there are facets of life where if something's going wrong, you revert back to what's comfortable, right? And you revert back to what you know. I think that might be some sort of edge where if their offense isn't working, Penix is there and saying, hey, guys, he loves to try and get the offense going by running this sort of type of play. So there may be like a slight moment of that. I think on the overall scope of the game, probably not.
Yeah, probably.
But I think there might be key moments where there's like a feel of, in situations prior, he used to try and do it this way.
There could be. There's also, this is sort of just a big picture statement on the Seahawks and their offense. Like, I understand part of it is because the run game isn't going. It's also not that much of a surprise that that guy would come in and have Geno being doing so well in the passing game,
right?
Given what he's done with quarterbacks, Penix most specifically of late at the college level. Like, they just love to throw the ball, and they're very creative with it. A lot of pre-snap motion, try to get you in bad matchups or at least get you to show your hand and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I don't know how much that plays into it on Sunday, but it's definitely an interesting wrinkle in the matchup.
We'll take every advantage we can get.
Whatever you can get.
Could pull the switcheroo on you, though.
Nice way for Week 7 to start last night from a NFC South and Falcons perspective, effectively ending the Saints' chances at really anything this season. Let's hear how it went down.
Blitz on the way. Rattler's in trouble. Pulled down as he throws, and this ball knocked up into the air and deflected and picked off by Cody Barton. Barton looking backwards into the end zone. That is a Denver touchdown.
Now, technically, that play didn't happen because it got blown dead for offsides or whatever, but it still was pretty crazy to watch. Like, that looked like Spencer Rattler was doing a Marcus Mariota / Desmond Ridder impression. On that play, as he sort of dribbled the ball and then ran into his own guy and then threw it backwards. It was pretty impressive. It was a pretty impressive bundle of crap all in one play. They got killed. They got beat 33-10. They're 2-5. They've lost 5 in a row. Man, remember they scored 91 points in the first 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah. Fourth best all time for 2 weeks of the season. And then, yeah.
A lot of injuries and all that kind of stuff, but still, that's their problem. Broncos, meanwhile, 4-3. Kind of a sneaky little start. I guess Bo Nix tied Elway for rookie season wins in Broncos history. Elway's team went 4-12 or whatever, and Bo Nix's team is 4-3, so it's kind of a fun
off and
thing.
Running to a similar career, I'm sure.
I'm sure it'll be just the same. You got a London game on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Patriots and Jags, two terrible teams. The Patriots beat the Jags, they might as well just leave their coach.
He's fired. He's fired. Like, I think they wanted to fire him last week, but they had another game in London, and it just...
They're already over there, yeah.
If he loses to New England, he's getting fired. They may fire, by the way. I was wondering about this. Could they actually have just fire him after a win?
Yeah, right. They might just fire him after a win. Yeah, it's possible. What about Dennis Allen? I know we had sort of moved on from the Saints.
End of the year. Yeah.
I was going to say, we've done a lot of what coach gets fired next kind of stuff, and his name hasn't really been on any of the lists.
I mean, how mean do you want to be to an interim? Because you can't ask an interim to come coach Jake Haener.
I thought you were calling Dennis Allen an interim. I was like, that's kind of nice.
That too.
Kind of is, though, right? Yeah. Like, kind of feels like that's what the situation was. But
you're Clint Kubiak. You don't want them to be like, you get a chance to coach a football team, and here we go, and your starting lineup is Spencer Rattler Alvin Kamara and Bo. I don't know who played receiver, but
Bub Means.
Fun name.
Cedric Wilson.
Fun name.
Wide receiver one. So there you go. Good luck, man.
Not great. Speaking of wide receivers, here's Patrick Mahomes talking about how confident he is in his.
Yeah, I have extreme confidence with the guys that are on that football field. I mean, they've won games. They've won Super Bowls. They've made plays in big moments. And Brett Veach does a great job of bringing players in that can step up whenever their number's called. And so every time I step on that football field, I feel like we have the best ability to win. And I think that's a credit to Brett Veach and Coach Reed bringing in guys that really get after it and put in the work to be great every single day.
One of the fun matchups on Sunday, I know the Niners are 3-3, but they've been playing a little bit better. Super Bowl rematch in Santa Clara. Chiefs and 49ers. 49ers favored by 2.
Apparently, Ricky Pearsall running full speed at practice. They say he might make a debut this week.
For people that don't know, Ricky Pearsall got shot like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, in an attempted robbery.
And had a shoulder injury before that limited him. So.
Yeah. So that's pretty wild.
He's had a heck of a first few months in the NFL.
No kidding. Probably outside of the Falcons game, the matchup I'm most interested in is the Lions and the Vikings.
Absolutely, 100%.
5-0 Vikings, 4-1 Lions in Minneapolis. I like the Lions in this game.
If the Lions don't impact Sam Darnold because Aiden Hutchinson is gone, do you see them maybe hit the trade market?
Maybe.
I'm interested to see if this game spurs that on for them.
I think they will anyway, just because they got such an opportunity.
It's a chance,
They're such a good team. And I think that's another thing, and we can probably talk about it early next week or maybe later today if we have the time. There's a handful of teams that are on the verge.
Fire sale.
One loss.
Fire sales
away
are coming.
From being like, yeah, we got it. Anything we can do, move them for parts, get draft picks, get ready for next year. And some of those teams have good pass rushers. All right, we'll come back. We'll let you hear what Jimmy Lake had to say. Falcons defensive coordinator was on with us yesterday. Hear his thoughts on the defense, what it's going to take to beat Seattle, and everything Falcons after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Twenty minutes away from Sports Jeopardy, as well as our picks against the spread. Abel, let us know how we did last week. We'll each pick 4 games, 2 college, 2 pro, as we always do. And then, have we ever done this before? Me versus Abe in Sports Jeopardy? Have you played Randy when you've been in for me on Fridays?
No, there was zero chance Randy would do that.
Randy's just like, no, we're not doing that.
Absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not.
You just vetoed that, and you guys just did something else instead, like the back page or whatever?
Yeah, we just stuck with back page. There's a lot of pressure on me.
Why is there pressure on you?
I just feel like everyone thinks I'm supposed to be like some trivia thing, and I don't feel that way.
Oh.
And so now I have pressure to just hold up to that or on some level.
I feel a little pressure just because Randy always gets mad if I lose to whoever fills in, like whoever it would be. And I've done pretty well historically. I think I've only dropped one time Conti like just boat raced me. Conti beat me like 9-1. It was outrageous. It was totally stacked against me. They were all soccer questions. I don't know. I'm making excuses now, but he killed me, and Randy was disappointed in me for a month. So the last thing I want to do is disappoint my guy. But yeah, okay, I like that. Feel some pressure. That's good. Maybe that'll have you hesitate and make you easier to beat. We'll get there in 20 minutes. Before we do that, Jimmy Lake, the Falcons defensive coordinator, joined us yesterday, covered a lot of ground. If you want to hear that ground, don't go anywhere because we're going to play it for you right now. We started by talking about the safeties.
Oh yeah, no, it's incredible, and I've been fortunate to be around a number of talented safeties, but it is no match in my 5 years of coaching. The combination of Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates III, it is a lethal combination of ball awareness, ball skills, their smarts of getting everybody lined up, disguise to really make the quarterback uneasy. And then their tackling ability, and of course their ability to get the ball back, punching the ball out, which Jesse has done already throughout his career.
Jimmy, I want to go back when Rod gets the job here in Atlanta, and he comes to you and asks you to be his defensive coordinator. What did you see as far as the personnel when you said, yes, I'll be the defensive coordinator, and what you needed to add to make this a good defense?
Oh, yeah. I was so excited. So I was in my house in Los Angeles and accepted the role. And then started to watch film right away, that's what us coaches do. And all of a sudden I'm starting to watch the film, and I'm seeing 11 players hunting to the football with bad intentions, tackling well, hitting, striking, getting off blocks. I saw a defense that was hungry and flying around. And that's the type of defense that I have always been a part of. So I was extremely excited.
What kind of a two-parter here? What part of this defense has been what you've expected it to be thus far through six games? And then on the flip side of it, what part of this defense do you feel like isn't where you want it to be yet and you'd like to improve upon?
Yeah, I'd say the first thing is our guys are extremely, like, all in and what the plan is. You can hear the communication throughout the building when we're in meetings, when we're on walkthroughs. It's really at a high professional level, and I love the communication that we have all three levels of our defense, playing extremely cohesive, and they've stayed together. You know, this the National Football League is the elite of the elite, and we know we're going to be facing tough offenses week in and week out and tough matchups. And we've been able to weather the storm. You know, teams have made plays on us, but then all of a sudden we've had the ability and the resiliency to bounce back and play well down the stretch and close out games. And I'll say, you know, the things that I think that we need to work on and it starts with me that we got to do a better job of is, you know, we've haven't played the run as well as I would like to play. And it starts with me making sure our guys are in position, make sure they're understanding the scheme so we can get, you know, offenses in those third and extra long, and then we can actually really get after the quarterback.
Jimmy, when we talk about this pass rush, because I think that's a big thing that a lot of us are talking about, you know, the five sacks and six games and everything like that. What do you see as far as while you're up there in the booth, or I don't know if you're down on the field, calling this defense, are you guys getting close, or is it, you know, you got a mobile quarterback here, or this guy gets the ball out fast? I mean, what is it from your point of view that you're seeing about this pass rush?
Yeah, no, it's a combination, and I'll say this. You know, our process has been correct, or the way our players are preparing themselves with the game plan, the way they've been putting their work in the weight room and out on the practice field, and then going out of the games, the process has been correct, and we've been extremely close, just like you just mentioned. We've had a lot of, you know, just close, and all of a sudden they get rid of the ball, or you know, just close, and then it's an incomplete pass. We've had a bunch of quarterback hits. Not necessarily the sack production and the numbers that say it on the paper that you had a sack, and so we're on the right track. But now we just got to continue with our process, which our guys are doing, and we know that those results that people like to see on paper, where it actually says that we're getting the sack, are going to eventually show.
Hey, Jimmy, how do you get prepared as far as your defense for those different types of quarterbacks? Like, you got a Justin Fields, and you've coached against Jalen Hurst this year, and Baker Mayfield, and you know, how do you get your mindset? How do you go about approach calling your defense when you got to play such different style quarterbacks?
Yeah, and that was you know, probably another part of the question before, right? In terms of what the type of offenses that we're facing. You know, those first 2 weeks, you know, again, it goes back to limiting the run on first, second down. But, you know, once you get down that, now it's third and three, third and four, and you have Justin Fields and you have Jalen Hurts that has the ability just to run quarterback zone reads, quarterback run games, quarterback counters, a lot of, you know, college-style offenses, really tough to defend. Right. From a defensive standpoint, it becomes a lot more difficult to really pin your ears back and go get after a quarterback thinking it's going to be a pass, and now all of a sudden they have a quarterback design run and they're gutting you for a 10, you know, 12 yard gain for a first down. And so, you know, that was a little bit of the first lull of not very many sacks in the first couple of weeks. But again, if we're better on first and second down and we get them in known passing situations, it's third and 12. Now you can't really run that quarterback, you know, zone read play. And so it really goes back to being better on first, second down, so we can get the offense behind the chains, and then we can really pin our ears back and get after the quarterback.
Falcons defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. It's been cool to see Rook Arororo get on the field the last couple of weeks. What has he done from the beginning of the season to get on the field, and what does he need to do to stay out there for you guys?
Yeah, so excited for Rook. You know, he got here. We saw the talent in drills and, you know, out in OTAs. We saw the movement. And then, you know, once we hit training camp, it's just been a constant, steady growth and improvement with Rook. And, you know, we get out to preseason games and, you know, he plays okay, makes a couple plays here or there, but then had a lot of things to clean up. And to give him a ton of credit, he cleaned those up. Get a lot of credit also to Jay Rogers and John Timu, his position coaches, who have really been bringing him along every single week. And so, you know, those first few weeks there when he wasn't active, you know, he's on our scout team going against our offense, and all of a sudden we start watching the film, and we're like, whoa, look at Rook. He's caused a lot of havoc against our first team offensive line here. And then it became a point where we're like, it's time. He's grown. He's grown in his technique, his fundamentals. He's understanding. He's catching up to the pace of the National Football League speed. And then sure enough, he goes out there his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And man, he played so well, played so physical, violent, tackled well, made some splash plays. And you're just going to continue to see a constant state of growth and development with Rook. He's got the right mindset. He's got the right position coaches, and I'm excited about his future.
Hey, Jimmy, I always ask anytime we get an opportunity to interview any coach of the Falcons, my favorite Falcon is Grady Jarrett. And talk to us about what it's like coaching a guy like that, because he does seem, you know, he's got hurt last year. Seems like he's looking like Grady all of a sudden.
Oh, man. What a leader, an exceptional leader for our defense and for our whole team, really. You know, when I first met him, he was still, you know, coming off of his injury, and he was on a separate practice field going through rehab with our performance team. And I would always pop over there and talk to him, and you could just see the look in his eye, the competitive fire. He couldn't wait to get over on the field with us and start, you know, working on his craft and working on the scheme and catching up with the scheme. And now that he's in, you know, all the way in from training camp and the preseason games to now, just his spark, his tackle for losses, his leadership, his passion, his fire, the way the guys rally around him, it's really exceptional and amazing to be around.
Tell us the, if you would, the story behind Clark Phillips going down before he got to the, because I'll be honest.
I'm going to SCO, Jimmy.
I would have scored a touchdown.
I'm going to SCO.
But it, from what we hear, it sounds like he was listening to his coaches. Tell us the story of how that happened.
Awesome. I'm going to SCO, Jimmy.
Oh, boy. Okay. No, I think it's, it's fun. And so here's the straight scoop. You guys have been so great. I'll give you a genuine, honest answer.
And
that's
it.
What you're listening. That's what your listeners want to hear as well. So you know, we were up by multiple scores there, and so I had the same reaction that you guys probably had. You know, I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Clark's going to pick this thing off. He's going to go score. And then he goes down, and then I'm like, okay, he went down. That's a good thing to do. You know, the game was already in hand. Now we can kneel the clock out. And, you know, we just had some of our coaches were like, hey, they were reminding the players, hey, if we get a turnover here, hey, just go ahead and get down because the game's going to be over, which they are correct. And because especially if that was a one-score game, if that was a one-score game there, he needs to immediately go down right now because there's been some horror films of guys trying to score there or go, and then they cough the ball up, and then now they get the ball, and then, you know, the offense has another run at it. And sure enough, usually when that happens, it's like giving up an extra out in baseball, and, you know, next guy's going to hit a home run. And so Clark did the classy thing. It's not right or wrong. But I will say I had the same reaction. I was like, he's going to score. Oh, he didn't score. What's going on? Oh, okay. I get it. But, hey, I don't know if I would have done the same thing if I was in his shoes. If I'm in his shoes, I think I'm housing that thing and going to celebrate to the camera.
Oh, me too.
I'm going to score.
I would have been dancing in the end zone.
I'm going to score. I know we got real quick, got about a minute left. Jimmy, could you talk to us about this team, this opponent you're playing against as far as Seattle? We know they throw the ball a lot, got big play wide receivers. You're thinking about – I mean, I know you're not going to give us a game plan, but your thought process as far as defending this team.
No, you know, so this is an explosive offense, number one pass offense in the National Football League. They're putting up records right now, you know, through six games. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about, hey, they want to balance out and they want to run the ball a little bit. So, you know, we'll definitely got to be prepared for that. And they have an extremely talented runner and Walker back there. And so, well, we got to have our antennas up and make sure we're not just focused on the pass game. They could easily just hand it off to number nine back there and cause a lot of problems. But, you know, they got talent up and down their roster on offense. And when you start looking at their wide receivers with Lockett, with DK Metcalf, of course, with Ohio State. I don't want to mess up his name, JSN. I'll just say that's the initials there. And then you got the running back, and then you got Stan at tight end. And you got a former first round quarterback in Geno Smith, who's playing amazing, throwing the ball over and really smart. And then you got the unique scheme, you know. So this is a college offensive coordinator that had a bunch of success in college, almost won the national championship last year with Mike Penix as his quarterback, and they were, you know, setting records in college the last couple of years, and now he's brought that offense to the National Football League, and you can see what it's doing. It's shattering records in the pass game. I know they're on a little lull right now in terms of wins and losses, so I think they've had an extra time to prepare for, so I'm sure they're going to try to bounce that up a little bit with a run pass. But this is a high-flying offense that we have to be, you know, on our the screws and nails of everything to make sure.
Screws and nails, P's and Q's, all of it. They're going to have to be on top of all of it, and I think that they will be. We'll get to our keys to a Falcons victory over the Seahawks coming up at 1:20. 1 o'clock, we haven't done a ton of other games outside of Georgia and Texas. We'll do more Georgia and Texas with some of this fresh Kirby Smart audio, but Alabama-Tennessee is really fun. There's some other really cool games tomorrow in college football as well, so we'll get to all that top of the 1 o'clock hour. But coming up next, make our picks against the spread, followed by Sports Jeopardy. Me versus Abe. Only one man will win, or maybe we'll tie, but probably not. Only one man will win, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, it is. Not yet, but it is. You gonna hit the other one? All right. Here it comes. There it is. There it is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. You'll hear that Friday song in about an hour and 15 minutes or so when it's time to head out to the weekend. Hopefully everybody's got fun plans this weekend. We're slammed. We got a million things going on. It's like a Halloween thing going on in Smyrna tonight. It's like a fun run tomorrow. Little gym, soccer, birthday parties, college football. A lot going on. Anyway, we'll get back into the big story of the day 20 minutes from right now. That is Georgia and Texas. We'll also talk about some of the other big college football games and what to expect, or at least what we think is going to happen in those games. Keys to a Falcons victory over the Seahawks coming up at 1:20, and then an AMA an hour from right now. But as we always do at this time on Fridays, let's make some picks against the spread. How we do last week, Abe?
A decent week all around. Randy was 2-2. Mm-hmm. Andy and Bo were 3-1. And
all right.
First 4-0 week.
Well done. Well done, Abe.
So I am tied with Randy atop the overall standings at 16-12. Bo is 500, 14-14. And Andy, after a disastrous start, right back in it, 13-15. Right there.
I was 2-10.
It was bad.
All right. Who goes? Randy's not.
I have Randy's picks. Okay. If you want me to read them.
Yeah, read them first.
Now in his time slot.
And then,
slot,
then
yes.
Bo goes, and then so you'll start and finish.
So Randy is taking BYU -9. Hmm. That is a game being played tonight against Oklahoma State. So BYU -9. Louisville at home +5 against undefeated and top 10 ranked Miami.
I thought about that one.
I did too.
I don't know. Miami's just playing with fire, man.
In the NFL, Rainey's taking the Bills -9 against Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans.
That's a good pick.
And the Cincinnati Bengals -5.5. I believe that's a pick you might hear a couple more times
today. Yeah, I'm interested to see how many people
against
are on
the
that
Browns,
one.
Yeah.
Because I am. I'm all over that one. Cincinnati -5.5 at Cleveland. Cincinnati has to win. Like, I think they're a decent team, but they're 2-5 if they lose. The Browns are awful, obviously. Everybody knows that. I got the Washington Commanders -8 against the Panthers as well. I think I'm picking against the Panthers every week for the rest of the season. I was going to go with Tech. I like Tech +9.5, but still the status of Haynes King being up in the air, is too dicey, so I'm not going to go with that one. If he plays, I think that's a great game.
If he doesn't play, I don't think they can cover that. Yeah, that's the problem.
I know. Notre Dame has – their offense has really been good since that loss to Northern Illinois. So I got Georgia. I'm going with Georgia. You give me 4.5 points, I think maybe Georgia loses. I don't think they will, but I don't think they're going to lose by more than a field goal. And then Oregon tonight against Purdue. Now, Abe was explaining to me that Friday night's –
this is Oregon's real welcome to the Big Ten.
Friday nights in West Lafayette, Indiana get wild.
Get weird.
But I think Purdue really sucks, and I think Oregon's going to beat them by a million. So I got Oregon minus 29.5.
So is somebody in Vegas messing with Army and Navy? They both break into the top 25 last week. Now they've got them both favored by 16 points. Is that some little nerd sitting in his nerd computer in Vegas going, let's get 16-point spreads on both Army and Navy? So I'm going to take them both. They're both playing teams they should handle. Yeah. Army's got East Carolina. Navy's got Charlotte. Both favored by 16 points. So
very
both of those
patriotic
spreads.
Of you.
Yeah, man. Go Army, go Navy.
Service
let's
academies.
Go. Give me the Lions, plus 1.5 at the Vikings. I think the Detroit Lions go up there and handle the Vikings. And, yeah, give me that tasty Bengal spread, minus 5.5 versus the Browns. And Nick Chubb, who should be playing this weekend, as their only offensive weapon whatsoever.
You guys see that letter he wrote? To the fans. Pretty cool stuff. Nick Chubb's awesome.
Give me LSU minus 2.5 against Arkansas. I think Nussmeier's ready to really rock and roll after the late game heroics. I'll take Kansas State minus 2.5 against West Virginia. I think Kansas State is wildly undervalued this season. They got blown out because of a couple bad minute stretch against BYU, but they're a good team. DJ Giddens, man, that running back can get after it. In the NFL, give me the Ravens. Just kind of hoping for the best for the Falcons. The Ravens minus 3.5 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe it is,
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And then I was going to go Jets minus 2 against the Steelers. I just don't know what Russell Wilson means to the Steelers, so I'm shying away from that game.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in with Cincinnati over my formerly beloved Cleveland Browns.
Get on board, man. Get on board.
It's Guardian season.
Everybody's
Cleveland's
doing it. That was awesome last night, by the way. I know we're not talking a whole lot of baseball, but that was crazy.
First real game of the CS.
What Cleveland did. Yeah. And look, the Dodgers look like they're going to waltz to the World Series, which is good for them, but I hope it's Cleveland
that meets
them.
Good for Major League Baseball.
I hope it's Cleveland that meets them there. All right, let's play some Sports Jeopardy.
Abe.
Andy.
Here we go. All right,
scared.
So a little twist.
Just jinxed himself.
Not scared.
A little twist today is this is Sports and Leisure Jeopardy. I found a couple questions that were just fun.
All right.
Including this one.
Okay.
In the animated film The Lion King, what species of mammal is Timon?
Ew.
Wow.
Andy.
Andy Bunker.
A meerkat.
That is correct. Timon is a meerkat. Meerkats are fantastic animals to watch if you go to the zoo. Love how there's one little scout meerkat that's always up there looking for trouble.
Yeah.
There's always a scout meerkat.
They're a good. They.
What's the difference between meerkats and prairie dogs?
Great question. I don't know. I would imagine.
Because I was going to ring in and say prairie dog, and I didn't think that was right.
It wasn't.
Definitely would not
have
been
not.
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
What player married fellow former number one tennis star Steffi Graf?
Andy
Bunker.
Andre Agassi.
That is correct, sir. Andy's up 2-0. What sport includes a maneuver called a ballet leg? I thought Abe would be all over
I did, too.
Abe Gordon.
Judo?
That is incorrect.
What sport includes a move called ballet leg?
I don't know if when you're judging this sport, you're like, oh, nice ballet leg they just pulled off there.
Okay. Gymnastics.
Not sure how that works.
Figure skating?
Synchronized swimming.
Okay. Oh.
One of the few sports I do not partake in regularly.
Oh, you do not watch?
No, not often.
Wow. I dated a
they don't call it that anymore,
really?
By the way.
Yeah,
they call it artistic swimming now or something?
Is that what they call it?
Oh, because they're not supposed to be synchronized? I guess they're not synchronized.
They just changed the name. I don't know. Mm.
Opens them up for a lot more dance moves by not having to be synchronized. Which succulent plant is used to make tequila?
Andy
Bunker.
Agave.
That is correct, sir. What British rock group released a debut album called Parachutes?
Abe
Gordon.
Is that Oasis?
No.
Oh, I know who it is. I know who it is.
Is it Coldplay?
It's Coldplay. Yeah.
Huh.
Shout out to Georgia fan Brian.
Who would be furious right now if this is what was happening on Sports Jeopardy?
This is so much better than...
His name's Randy McMichael. Yep, would be furious right now about what's going on.
What is the score? 3-0? 4?
It's 4-0.
Yeah, see,
you got to get on it.
Not good.
To what sport do the Marquess of Queensbury rules apply? This is one I think Randy would have gotten in a heartbeat.
Andy
Bunker.
Boxing.
That is correct. Abe, no Marquess of Queensbury?
No, I didn't know that one.
Abe goes to boxing events and didn't know that one.
Boxing events. They didn't lay out the rules. Sometimes the OTX events have their own rule set. So.
The only reason I know that is from the show Sports Night. Do you remember the show Sports Night that used to be? Yeah, they referenced that one time.
If a player who is at advantage in a game of tennis loses the next point, what is the score? Andy Bunker.
Deuce.
Wow. Andy just running away with it here, Abe.
I was trying to see where he's going with the question. I thought he was going to ask which side of the court is he serving on.
Mm. Nope.
That wasn't it.
How many competitors are in a sled in the women's bobsled event?
Andy.
Abe.
Andy Bunker.
Two.
That is correct.
It's getting stinky.
Only two.
In here.
There are two and four men's bobsled.
They call him Bob Slay now, by the way. I don't know why they changed that name.
Santa, maybe?
Is sled derogatory to somebody?
I don't know.
I don't know. Huh. I don't know.
Do they still call it dog sledding?
I have not heard it called dog sleigh.
I did a rod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Mush.
Who is the only boxer in history to hold titles in 8 different weight divisions? Abe Gordon.
Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao
there
is correct.
You go.
Abe Gordon is all right. On the board. What world-ranked Spanish tennis player is coached by his uncle?
Andy.
Andy Bunker.
Alcaraz.
That is incorrect, sir.
He's Spanish, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who else is even Spanish.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, is it the real obvious one?
Yes.
Well, he's not, but Nadal.
That is correct. He's not Spanish?
I think he's from, Cyprus or, no, Mallorca. Mallorca?
I think that's in Spain.
I think there's some weird denomination he's is and isn't. But sure,
like a Spain.
He
like
played
a US
for
Puerto
he's
play, Rico
he
thing?
Played with Alcaraz doubles in the Olympics. So sure.
And that's Spain, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'd take the point if I was you.
The provincial.
Do you want me to
declaration? No.
What are we doing here?
I thought it was going to be Alcaraz for that reason, though. So.
What town in France, not Spain, originally produced the world's best known brandy?
Andy
Bunker.
Cavassier. It's not? Oh.
Not Cavassier.
In France, Champagne. From the Champagne region?
What is it?
It's cognac.
I was on the right track.
You were.
I was on the right track. All right.
Had I said, oh, you almost got it, I think that would have probably...
It would not have. It would not have.
All right, get your buzzers ready.
Okay.
What is it called when you score 3 goals in a hockey
game?
Oh, wow. I think that was Andy.
A hat trick.
It is a hat trick.
You were almost trying to overthink it.
That's what I was thinking was going to happen. Yeah. I was thinking I was going to get turkey there.
No, that's bowling.
Who has a tattoo that says chosen one on
Abe
his back?
Andy.
Abe Gordon.
Abe does.
When did you see that? LeBron.
That is correct. And what spirit
close.
Commonly uses juniper berries to get its flavor? Andy Bunker.
Gin.
And what hat takes its name from the Spanish word for shade? Abe Gordon.
Fedora.
Oh, come on, man. I don't even think fedora is Spanish.
It's not, but what is it? I don't know what the hat is.
The Spanish word for shade. What's a Spanish hat?
A fedora.
Sombrero?
Sombrero.
There it is. Well.
I took a dive just so I could hear this song. Would you believe that?
What was your song going to be?
We didn't plan that far in advance.
Well, wow.
We did?
Oh, you did?
We surely did.
What was it going to be?
Oh. Did we? Uh-oh. I'm worried what Bo thinks my song would be. Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough,
there you
fair
go.
Enough. That makes sense.
That's Billy Joel, right? There you go. All right. We'll be back with the big story of the day. We'll get back on track here. We'll talk Georgia, Texas. We'll get some Alabama, Tennessee, some of the other big games in college football coming up next. Keys to a Falcons victory half an hour away. We'll get you an AMA at 1:40 as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.